Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Sunday, November 1st, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, The Final Countdown, already in the month of November. Hard to believe, and a couple days away from Election Day, November 3rd. Of course, a lot of the vote is already in. We're going to get to that. Probably a little bit of a shorter podcast this evening, but I just wanted to make sure that we got caught up on some of the numbers over the weekend. Updated vote count, how 538.com is handicapping the race as of this evening, how Real Clear Politics is handicapping the election at this juncture. Anything can happen, but there has not been a lot of tightening within the polls. So Joe Biden still has a pretty nice cushion from a national standpoint, although it's really not the national polls that you want to look at. It's those battleground states. And with respect to a handful of those battleground states, he seems to have a nice cushion, a little bit stronger than what Hillary Clinton had. So if there is going to be some sort of polling error that we witnessed in 2016, it's going to have to be even bigger in 2020. And I just think this is another hurdle that makes it an even steeper uphill battle for the president to win re-election. He can do it. He can pull another inside straight. However, I don't think an inside straight in and of itself of any suit, of any order, is going to do it. It has to be a royal flush in order for him to win re-election. However, a royal flush is in the cards. So it's a possibility. Anything can happen. We know it's going to be contentious, to say the least. We know the president, because he's already said so, because he doesn't like the fact that some ballots can be counted after November 3rd, which really isn't a surprise in and of itself, regardless of whether there's a pandemic. But nonetheless, because there is going to be ballot counting after November 3rd, the lawyers are coming out basically immediately. That should not come as a surprise to anybody in this election with this president, but that's what it's going to look like. Remember, he's only going to lose if it's a rigged election. If he wins, it's perfectly fine. This is disqualifying in and of itself, but we've been down this road many times before. If I haven't convinced you of this yet, then I'm not going to, and you're going to vote for whoever you want to anyway. I'm not voting for Joe Biden either. I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I'm going to vote for the Libertarian candidate, Joe Jorgensen, and you can have that as you will. But again, I don't view the presidency as a panacea. I don't. We learned this, I think, in the third or fourth grade, basic civics class, and you should have carried that with you to where you are today. But people, I guess, in this day and age, they want to vote for some sort of dictator. And as long as it has an R after his or her name or a D after his or her name, I guess that dictator is to be tolerated. That's not how it works. It's not how it works at all. We need somebody in there who is going to lower the temperature, take a deep breath, and start to educate the people on the structural issues that are facing this country. We don't hear these structural issues discussed by the president, by Joe Biden, by anybody. So you can vote for whoever you want in this little popularity contest. You can get your little sticker that says I voted and think you're making a difference by voting for one of these two jokers, and have at it. It's a free country. You're allowed to think and believe what you want to believe. But don't come bitching to me 4 years later, scratching your head, wondering why nothing changed. Okay? I don't want to hear it, because you have your opportunity. But this is what we're going to deal with time and time again. But this is the horse race. People are paying attention to it. So we'll discuss it here at the Capital News. But this does not touch on the structural issues facing this country, or this planet for that matter. But there you have it. So market performance with some overnight trading. Asian markets open. The dollar index is gaining up about 0.1%, trading at 94.162, so regaining that 94 handle. Again, we were flirting with the 92 handle not too long ago. And then, of course, a massive sell-off in the stock market over the past week, week and a half. This is broad strength for the dollar against the euro, the pound, the Aussie, the Kiwi, Japanese yen. However, a little bit of weakness in the dollar against the Chinese yuan, but strength of the U.S. dollar against the Swiss franc for the time being. Overnight futures trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is flat. The S&P 500 is trading in the green, up about 0.3%. NASDAQ 100 is also in the green, up about 0.1%. Good market rally in the Japanese cash trade, up about 1.4% off the back of some better-than-expected economic data coming out of Japan, Australia, South Korea, and China. We'll see how long-lived this is going to be, especially in the midst of further lockdown restrictions in Europe. Cash trade in Australia is also gaining about 0.5%. Sell-off on Friday. We took Friday off. Apple down 5.6% on Friday. Tesla down 5.5%. Microsoft giving back 1%. Amazon giving back 5.5%. Alphabet, the parent company of Google, bucked the trend, gaining about 4 percentage points. And Facebook sold off 6.3%. Now, we'll continue to see how long this lasts within the tech sector. Again, these companies are basically the stock market. They have led this market to higher highs. What leads up leads down. So if that's it, well, that could be all she wrote for this 6-7 month counter rally that we have been experiencing in the stock market for quite a while. Let's see here. Oh, oil getting smashed. WTI down about 4 percentage points, trading at $34.41. Again, that's WTI. Brent is also down 2 percentage points, trading at $36.70 a barrel. This is on demand concerns because of those lockdowns taking place again in the European Union. Natural gas is hanging on, however, $3.36. Gold and silver are both up. Gold is up about 0.2%, $1,880 an ounce. Silver is up nicely at 1.2%, trading at $23.90 an ounce. We'll see how long-lived that remains as well. And again, I have to note, despite the massive market sell-off that we witnessed, gold and silver are still holding on relatively well, given what was selling off. Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note is yielding 0.86%, so getting closer to a 9-handle. And this just basically says to me that despite the stock market sell-off, there was not a rush or a flight to safety with U.S. government debt. Because if that was the case, bond prices would be bid higher, yields would be going lower. We are seeing bids go up. So this is a pan sell-off, if you will. Getting out of stocks, getting out of bonds, somewhat getting into the U.S. dollar a little bit. Precious metals, not so much, because, you know, net-net, they did sell off, but they're holding on relative to some other assets. So where's all this money going? Is it just a cash build-up to wait to see what happens during the election fallout? And who knows how long the election fallout is going to be? So there's a lot of, you know, unknowns out there. And election day, I don't think, is going to make a lot of it any crystal clearer, regardless of who wins and by what lead or by what margin either candidate should win by. Because, again, those structural issues have not been resolved. The global protests are still taking place. All right? So we haven't even scratched the surface. This is all a reality TV show is all this is. It's just a personality contest. That's all it is. You either want 4 more years of this guy, or you want the rhetoric toned down a little bit. But other than that, the structural issues are it's just going to continue the way it is. Because nobody takes this stuff seriously, but you're paying for it, and don't ever forget that. So that's some of the market performance. EU lockdowns are continuing, causing, of course, many Europeans to take to the street to protest and riot. Just getting started. European Central Bank, ECB, is again calling attention to a digital currency. So they're basically saying, yeah, we can't maintain these paper currencies anymore. So now we're just going to pretend that because now it's all digital that we can maintain and defend a digital currency. This is a bunch of BS. You're smarter than this. Don't fall for it. They're basically throwing their hands up with this rhetoric saying we're out of ammunition. There's nothing else we can do. Sure, fiscal policy can come in, but that's robbing the future to provide for today just to fill a huge void. It's not stimulative at all. It's a waste of money and hugely counterproductive because it's going to generate inflation, which is robbing people of their purchasing power. Very simple, but people can't seem to grasp it. Over the weekend, we had that earthquake in Turkey. Not so good for Turkey because their economy is in tatters as well. Their currency continues to plummet, as we have been stating here for months that this was likely going to continue and get worse, and here we have it. So the hits just keep on coming. Something to pay attention to, because as these weaker links across the economic chain continue to break, it's going to add up. And sure, you can say, all right, Lebanon's not a big piece of the pie, no big deal. Argentina's not a big piece of the pie, no big deal. Venezuela, Iran, Turkey, but maybe as one-offs, that might be correct. But once you start adding them all up, it starts to become a problem. All right? And it's going to build, momentum. Let's get to the vote count as of Sunday evening. 93.3 million early votes have been cast. In-person accounts for 34 million. Mail ballots returned accounts for 59.3 million. Shattering numbers. Again, that total is 93.3 million. As a percentage of 2016 total turnout, 67.7%, so two-thirds of the way there. Again, political analysts are expecting anywhere from 150 to 160 million for the total turnout for 2020. So we're well past the halfway mark on that. And who knows? Maybe it'll be more than 160 million. We, of course, will find out in a few short days. But as that percentage basis of 2016, Texas is at 108%. Huge turnout there thus far. Hawaii is at 110, 111%. Let's go through some of the battleground states. Arizona's at 86.5%. Nevada's at 91%. Florida's at 91%. Georgia's at 94%. North Carolina at 95%. Pennsylvania, 39%. Ohio at 51%. Michigan, 53%. Wisconsin, 63%. Minnesota, 53%. Iowa, 58.5%. So it's good to see people coming out to the polls. Again, most people knew who they were going to vote for. This doesn't surprise me. And then with all the rhetoric from the president that it's a rigged election, that the mail-in ballots, it's all funny business, is driving people to get out there, which is good. Go out and do it in person, or at least if you're going to vote by mail, do it early and send it in as early as possible so they can get into the elections office and they can be counted. Of course, there's a lot of lawsuits that are already taking place across the country in several states. We'll see how these play out. One of the ones that has just been shut down in the state of Texas was the Republican Party was questioning the voting method of a drive-through polls. Obviously, as a result of the pandemic, people not wanting to wait in line, but they wait in their cars and go through drive-through tents, basically. Okay, over 100,000 Texans have voted this way, and you had the Republican Party taking this to the Texas Supreme Court, State Supreme Court, where that is, of course, seated, if you will, by Republican or conservative justices and judges on that court. Well, they struck down that argument saying, no, these people voted, their votes can count, but this song is far from over. It's now in federal court, so we'll wait that hearing. I will be appalled if a federal judge overturns the lower court, the Texas State Supreme Court's ruling on this. If these individuals, 100 plus thousand of them, close to 130,000, I believe, at this juncture, if they were told that they could vote that way and they were following the rules, they were following the laws, then those votes should count plain and simple. Plain and simple. If those votes are not counted, that's a shame. And it's just going to be another piece of evidence that this is a banana republic. That's all it is. I mean, this shouldn't even be argued. What are these people going to do if it's overturned? Are they all going to have to go vote again? We don't know their circumstances of what was going on. They voted that way for a reason. This is getting out of hand, to say the least. And this isn't even election day yet. This country, it's something else. 538. All right, let's go. Some updated polling here. 89 out of 100 probability that Joe Biden will win. 10 out of 100 that Trump will win. And they're actually giving one outcome set at a tie. This is 538. Again, 89 out of 100, Biden wins. 10 out of 100, Trump wins. And they are throwing in a potential tie as a scenario. When you break it down more so, state by state, 538 still has the following states in the Biden camp or leaning his way: Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Nebraska 2, Arizona, Florida, Maine 2, North Carolina, and Georgia. States of Ohio, Texas, and Iowa are now leaning back towards Donald Trump, according to 538. Now, if we look at Real Clear Politics and we look at their no toss-up map at this juncture, we have here 350. This was actually just updated because before I got on this podcast, it was actually a little bit higher for Joe Biden. So right now, 350 Electoral College votes for the Biden-Harris ticket. Trump-Pence, 188. What just changed moments ago is RCP, Real Clear Politics, is now putting Ohio back into the Trump column. 10 minutes ago, it was in the Biden column. That was the state of Ohio, which would be the first time I think that has happened in quite a while, which, if that was the case, would have given Biden-Harris 368, since Ohio has 18 Electoral College votes. Real Clear Politics, as with 538, is now putting Iowa, the state of Iowa, back in the Trump column. He won that state in 2016. However, that Iowa was won in 2008 and in 2012 by Obama, Biden. Real Clear Politics, let's just go through the map real quick so you can understand what they're looking at. Nevada, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, all Biden-Harris. Donald Trump, Iowa, Ohio, Texas, as for any of the battleground states are concerned. Again, a very steep incline for the Trump-Pence ticket. As far as I'm concerned, when you play with these maps, either 538's interactive map or the Real Clear Politics, because as contentious as the state of Pennsylvania is likely going to be, Joe Biden can still get to 270 Electoral College votes without carrying Pennsylvania. He can do it without winning Florida as well. I mean, it's quite amazing. He carries Nevada, Arizona, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. He's got it locked up. So that's just something that you got to pay attention to. And that's why both of these candidates are fighting for the last vote and are basically coast to coast, state to state, because they know what's up for grabs. They know the Electoral College map. They know where they have to be. And so there you have it. Now, I misspoke. If in that scenario, that would get Joe Biden 269. I'm just updating my math here. But if he gets Nebraska 2, that gives him 270. So, and it's looking like he is likely to pull out either Nebraska 2 or Maine 2. And that's according to both Real Clear Politics and 538.com. So, like I said, U.S. Project, U.S. Election Project is a source. 538.com is a source. Real Clear Politics is a source. Go knock yourself out. Next couple of days are going to be heated. It's going to be down to the wire. I just hope Americans can remain calm and collected during this process. Keep the lawyers away as far as possible for as long as possible, but that doesn't appear that that's going to be the case from either candidate, I imagine, because the Democrats, should Donald Trump win, aren't going to back down either. So this is just, I guess, par for the course, if you will, for 2020. And again, it's going to be the people and the country itself that is going to suffer the most. But there you have it. That's the final countdown. We'll continue with this analysis tomorrow. Have our discussion on Tuesday election night as well to see where we are at the time of the podcast. It could potentially be an early night if the state of Florida is counted up and everybody is expecting the state of Florida to pretty much have their tally in either on election night or early morning, November 4th. Of course, that might not be the case, but if it is, and that state should swing blue to Joe Biden, then it's probabilistically speaking, Donald Trump doesn't have a chance. So we'll have to keep our eye on that. Same thing with the state of Ohio, because that could be a sleeper cell too for the Democrats potentially. I don't think so, but you never know. Could happen. So there you have it. That's the final countdown. Pay attention to the markets. Expect a lot of volatility for quite a while. and expect perhaps that the markets, all of them, or especially the big boys, the stock market, the bond market, might start paying a little bit more attention to reality. And if that happens, look out. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Kritis. Godspeed.